If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open it to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I always tell my young people, don't use your phone. Open up the Word of God. But you know what? You can cheat tonight, okay, guys? Because I can't see you. So you're probably using your phones right now, so I can't do anything about it. It's fine if you want to. But 1 Samuel 17, this is, without a doubt, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I'm not going to read all of it. But I want to read just a tiny portion, and I'm going to read a verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You know, this is one of the most impactful, one of the most impressive, one of the most, I would say, certainly dramatic scenes in all of the Scripture. The fate of an entire nation was determined by a single fight. One bout between two champions. It doesn't get much more exciting than this. Move over, Disney. This is a real story, okay? But this was a time of uncertainty and great turmoil. And what does the king do? Who is the champion that he selects to put in his hand the destiny of an entire race of people and servitude forever? If they lose, what does he do? He chooses a young, seemingly weak, inexperienced shepherd boy. And you have to understand, choosing David was a very dangerous wager. Again, the fate of an entire nation rested on this one choice. And let's be honest tonight. What would you do? What would I do? I probably wouldn't pick David. But Saul did. He said in verse 37, if you have it open, at the very bottom, what did he say? Go, and the Lord be with thee. Why? You know, remember initially, he said in verse 33, he said, you can't do this. He said to David, you cannot fight this Philistine. You are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. A lot of people like to talk about Goliath's, you know, dimensions, his body. He has a staff, and it's like a weaver's beam, and his shield is so heavy. This poor guy has to carry it around all the time because it's so big, right? We always think about how big he is. But also consider his background. This guy was raised to be a bloodthirsty, killing machine. And David is just a shepherd boy. So Saul said no, right, initially. But then all of a sudden, what we just read, Saul says go. Well, what happened? What changed the king's heart from saying, no way, which is, again, what I would say personally, to go and the Lord be with you? Was he crazy? Did he just pick the first person who volunteered? Because no one was volunteering, right? No one was. So David said, I'll do it. Okay, you're hired. Is that what he did? No. He did it because of one simple thing. He said to go because of what David said. Because David remembered the Lord. Verse 34 through 37, he talks about, I was tending my flock, and a lion and a bear. By the way, not just a lion, not just a bear. That would have been enough, right? No, it's a bad day. A lion and a bear, two of them, same time, come and take a sheep out. And again, I would say, well, there goes one. Bye, Mr. Fluffy. He's gone. But no, he found them, he chased after them, and he slew them. And David didn't say, it's because I'm the man, because I am fantastic, because he had this great martial prowess, or he was this great specimen. It was because the Lord delivered him, and David remembered. And because of that, he said, so is this uncircumcised Philistine, because he has defied who, me? David? Because he's defied me. Or he's defied you, King Saul? No. It's because he defied the armies of the living God. God is alive today. And David remembered. And you, God delivered his people over and over and over again from famine, from Pharaoh, and from the Philistines. But what keeps happening? People forget. And when people forget, they fall. A lot of our problems that arise in our Christian walk is simply because we do not remember the goodness of God and the greatness of God in our lives. Our young people have been reading through the Bible on Wednesdays. Well, up until recently, until it's all ruined, but I hope you guys are still reading a little bit. Good job. Proud of you. But our young people could tell you, going through the Old Testament as we have been, that at least half of the suffering that happens in Scripture is because, well, the people of Israel, the New Testament, and even all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the suffering that happens to the people of God, more than half, simply is because they forget the Lord. You want peace during troubled times, like now? Do you want strength, as David did during this crisis? Then turn off your phone. Turn off the mania. I didn't say media, by the way. I said mania. Turn off the mania and the voices of despair that are all around you. And remember the Lord. Remember that He has provided for you, that He has protected you, how He has promised that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And there are three things tonight that I want us to see in this story. Very important, but very simple. The first we see is, number one, remember the Lord in times when you are afraid. When you're afraid. Look at verse 10 with me. Turn back to verse 10. Or you young people, swipe to verse 10. I know you're using your phones. It's fine. Verse 10 says, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day." He threw down the gauntlet. "Give me a man that we may fight together." What happened? What happened when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine? They were dismayed and greatly afraid. That is very interesting. Their immediate response to Goliath's challenge was not to remember, but it was to forget. You have to understand, when you forget the Lord, you leave a vacuum in your heart. And you know what fills that vacuum? Fear. Fear is what gripped their minds. A philosopher once said that fear is the most natural state of man. And living these days as we live and what we've seen, that is certainly true. And more than anything, the worst aspect of fear is that it spiritually paralyzes you. And by the way, Satan knows that very well. He's very aware of that, which is why that is always his first course of action, to take hold of your heart. Fear of death, fear of rejection, fear of being without, fear of eternity. When you are gripped by fear, you are spiritually stunted. You cannot grow, you cannot learn, and you cannot receive nor give a blessing if you are constantly afraid. And by the way, if you're always filled with fear, you can't be a great blessing to other people. God cannot be a conduit of His grace, because fear always has torment and looks within. One time I was driving my master's year, my beautiful Toyota RAV, and the Florida boy I am don't understand what ice is. And how, for some reason, the state of Tennessee doesn't have these things called rails. They just assume that if someone flies off the edge of a mountain, well, they had it coming. Oh, well. Well, I was driving, and I hit the ice, and I tried to course correct, and I did, I think my head was spinning, so I think I did at least a 1080, maybe more, degrees spinning, and I thought I was going to die. I thought that was it. And I thought to myself, what a loser way to die. I'm going to spin out of control. I'm going to be in the news. I'm going to fly off a mountain. But I did it. I landed in someone's lawn. And because I was so paralyzed with fear and so terrified, I didn't realize that I had effectively destroyed all of their precious little lawn ornaments. They were just demolished. Did I get out of my car and apologize? Did I knock on the door and explain the situation? No. I drove away in terror. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not a perfect person. I just drove away. All the little gnomes and everything just destroyed. I left the scene of the crime. But I did go back. When I came to my senses and the fear started to fade away, I realized maybe I should go tell them. So I did. They were very gracious. "Y'all right, boy? You okay?" They were very, very kind. So all is well. But in the moment, I was only concerned for myself. I was terrified. And that is what fear does. I mean, for crying out loud, look at how the people of Israel conducted themselves. When someone was blaspheming their God, what did they do? They just stood there. They were stunned, filled with fear. And I don't want to be too mean to them, but they were basically totally worthless. You know, part of the reason why David was so flustered with Goliath's boasting is because the people of Israel were doing nothing about it. Every day, blaspheming and nothing. Why? Because they were paralyzed by fear. You know, they didn't even have a champion. You know, I thought about this. They probably would have defaulted, disqualified, because they never would have picked anyone, because no one would have came forward if it wasn't for David. But that's what fear does. And in the flesh, it is understandable why we would be afraid. Because we are frail, foolish, and fallen creatures. And if we listened to all the voices around us, we would have a lot of reason, quite frankly, to be filled with despair. But what those voices out there do not realize is that God is good. And that God has been good. And that God will be good. The fact that God has been and will ever be faithful. And they have not realized nor recognized that fact, but we can, as children of God. We can see, we can attest, we can remember that God is true to his word, and his word says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. How shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The scripture says that fear of man brings a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. One of my favorite in all the Bible was the words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew 10. And he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Was that the end? No. He said, "Fear ye not, therefore." Why? "Ye are more value than many sparrows. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear. And resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Remember the Lord tonight. You do not have to be afraid, because the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The only way that you can overcome, that I can overcome, fear, is to remember. That is all that was needed for a king to change his heart. And that was all that was needed for David, this young shepherd boy, to stand before a giant. Which leads us to the second truth tonight. You must remember the Lord in times where you are afraid. But also number two, you must remember the Lord in times when you feel alone. You know, sometimes we make funny jokes about, I do, social distancing. One of my favorite is, homeschoolers have been practicing for 45 years social distancing. We're experts on it. This is nothing new. We don't care. Or the other one where when you're watching TV and the government just begins to describe your way of life as social isolation and your face is just, it's just a sad thing. And, you know, we make jokes and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, in reality, these measures that have been taken will have and have had a deep and emotional toll on the human heart. God says it is not good for man to be alone. Yet oftentimes, especially now, I'm sure, we can feel totally and utterly alone. And you know, when you think about it, David understood this very well. Not just in his own life, but in his profession. You know, being a shepherd is a very solitary position. I mean, you're out in the field alone, except a lion and a bear once in a while try to ruin your day, apparently. But you're out there, and all you have is the bleating of sheep. Very lonely. But not just in his profession, but also in his position. He was the youngest. He was the runt of the family. He was, again, not a specimen, not this great man of valor, right? And as we'll discover in a minute, his brothers were not really the best of people, especially his eldest brother. My eldest brother is great. Love you, Rick. But not David's. But you know, alone in a field, alone in a cave, he suffered much and he learned much about loneliness. He said in Psalm 25, "Turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Why? For I am desolate." It means set apart. Desolate and afflicted. "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses." Some of you tonight can identify with David's feelings. You feel like you're all alone, that no one sees, that no one understands what you are really going through. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. You may be right. You may be absolutely right. There may not be a person on earth who truly knows the pain that you're feeling right now. But there is someone who does, and who is the answer to all of that pain. And the funny thing about loneliness is it doesn't really matter the number or the proximity of people around you. It is the feeling of being separated. It is the feeling of being severed from everything, like you're standing all by yourself. And you know, even when this quarantine does finally lift and Disney is open and millions of people are coughing and hacking all over each other all over again, and I see McDonald's and they're not wearing gloves anymore. I really am going to miss that, by the way. And you know, it's you're going to feel a little yeah, but once the quarantine lifts, I guarantee you, they're all the beaches everywhere is going to be flooded with people. But you know what is still going to remain? This feeling of loneliness. It will endure. But there's something very important to understand. Notice I said to remember the Lord when you feel alone. Because see, these feelings are not based on truth. Because the reality is, no matter how you may feel, no matter how intense it may seem, you are not truly alone. The question is, do you remember who is with you tonight? What or who are you trusting in to fill the void that is in your heart? I remember my sophomore year at Crown College. I never really had a difficult time making friends. Is that a surprise? I would just annoy people enough until they invite me to hang out with them. That's basically my charm. But I didn't have a problem making friends. I had a lot of friends. But it didn't help this growing feeling of loneliness in my heart. And one day, man, I had the best day. From sun up to sundown, I spent time with all of my friends and went and had great meals. All you can eat pasta at Olive Garden for 35 cents, whatever it was. It was very cheap. And we would just have a great time, and I played volleyball at night. And I never played volleyball, but I liked it that night, and just having a great time. And I remember walking back to my dorm and falling on my bed, sobbing uncontrollably because of this overwhelming feeling of being totally and utterly alone. And nothing could fix it. It was a burden that I bared for days and weeks and months. But then I remembered a certain portion of Scripture, in Isaiah 49. And Zion, Israel, made an accusation to God. It says, "But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." But then God answered. And he basically said, "Can a woman forget her child? Can a woman, can a mother forget and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" And then God says, "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." You know, when I read that passage, when I remembered that passage, it didn't magically fix everything, but it was what I needed. Because you know what God wanted me to do? He wanted me to remember. He wanted me to remember that he will not forget me, and that he has never left nor forsaken me. And the same goes for you. And that is what you need to live in the strength and in the joy of Jesus Christ. You know, we hear all the time how Jesus feels all the pain, that he bore all of these sufferings so that he could identify with the feelings of our infirmities, right? You know that, and I know that. But I personally believe nothing is more true of that than loneliness. Think about it. He was cut off from his kingdom. He was cut off from his friends. He was cut off from his family, and he was forsaken. and then standing there, bleeding and literally suffering hell on a rugged tree, God the Father himself, never in a time of history, turned his back on his only begotten Son. And at that cold and cruel moment in history, Jesus Christ was truly and utterly alone. And yet he bore that for you and for me. Why? Because he wanted you to remember, like David, what he has done for you. And no matter how you're feeling tonight, remind yourself of this truth, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Which leads to the final truth this evening. And this is a very interesting one, by the way. We must remember the Lord when we are, number one, afraid. We must remember the Lord when we feel alone. But then, number three, we must remember the Lord when we have anger. Oh, boy, anger? You weren't expecting that, were you? Anger? I'm not an angry person. Why is he bringing that up? I thought this was going to make me feel good. No, anger, yes. That's very important to consider. I want you to think about this. Remember the Lord when you have anger. You know, a lot of people tend to mischaracterize David in this scene in the scripture. They say that this young man was incensed. He was furious, that he was just beside himself with rage. I've heard people say that, but really the reality is that's not true at all. The only one we see who is truly angry is his brother. Uh-oh, I told you we'd talk about him. Look at verse 28, if you have your Bibles. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger, there's the anger, was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You see, Eliab was triggered, which basically means that he allowed his anger, his emotions to control him. And when you do that, by the way, when you let your emotions control you, you will always come to the wrong conclusion. He was wrong about David. He was wrong about his brother. But that is what happens when you allow anger to rule your mind and your tongue. Being angry, or triggered, grants your flesh permission to dictate your every thought, your every action, and all of your words. And that's basically all Twitter is today. By the way, we should relabel Twitter to just trigger. It's like, hold on, I'm going to take my phone. I'm going to go on trigger and post this. I can't believe it. I got a lot of texts. Stop texting me during live stream. But, I remember one time when I was working at McDonald's. Oh, boy. I know. Wisdom from McDonald's. That there's this guy who came up. Some of you might have heard this, but he came up and said, all right, I'm not playing any games. It's like, oh, okay. So I straightened up my hat and fixed my apron. I think I was wearing a tie. I straightened my tie, my little McDonald's tie. I want a double quarter pounder. Okay, you're going to die soon. Okay. I want it with cheese. Okay. And then he like started to grit his teeth and he was like, but no pickles. If there's pickles, I'm going to lose it. He was being honest. At least he was honest. I was like, okay, no pickles. So I'm very good. I'm not like all the people you go to McDonald's. I know how to push buttons. I know when you say no something, I just push it. Okay. So they made the burger and blah, blah, and it came up. Order up. There's another customer next to him. And so he came up and he unwrapped it like that. And lo and behold, he just threw the burger down, put his hands on the table like this, and just rear back and screamed. I won't do it in the live stream. I don't want to break it or make it go crazy, but he just started screaming murder. And he went up to the napkins and he took them and he threw them all in the air. All my nice little trays I just sanitized for evening, he threw them on the ground. We had a little GameCube thing set up and they grabbed the controllers to try and shake it violently, like smash it. And then on his way out, he just smashed everything right next to the door on his way out, screaming and yelling. I thought he had a rat in there or something. Which only happened twice, okay? But no, and behold, I looked down, and it was pickles, okay? But then the customer right next to him looked down and said, that was my sandwich. Case of mistaken identity. And right the moment the customer said, that was my sandwich, the guy's pickle-free double quarter pounder with cheese came up. But see, that's what happens when you let anger get the best of you. You lose your sense of yourself. And there was a difference between Eliab and David. You know, David wasn't triggered by Goliath's blasphemy. He wasn't just mad. He didn't go on social media like, can you believe what Goliath said? Hashtag boycott Philistines. I don't know. Where did he buy his clothes? I'm not shopping there anymore. Is that what David did? No. I'm just so angry. I'm just going to post about it. No, David wasn't triggered. David was resolved. He wanted to do something about it for the glory of God. Eliab had contempt, but David had a cause. You know, it's possible that David was angered by Goliath's words. Absolutely. And that would be a righteous indignation, would it not? A good one. Wanting to defend and proclaim the power and the glory of God, of course. But he did not resort to throwing accusations and slander like his brother did. You know, those who are angry in the flesh don't actually do anything for God. Have you noticed that? They just complain. They accuse. And they point fingers at other people. But that is not the way it should be for us. You know, in today's world, there's already so much rage, isn't there? This certainly hasn't helped. Anger towards people who are not doing enough for the virus. Anger towards people who are too oppressive and hurting others' efforts. You know, anger towards people who wear a mask. Anger towards people who don't wear a mask. Anger toward people who drink Diet Coke. Or anger toward people who drink regular Coke. Or anger toward people, if you use Charmin, if you use Angel Soft, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Just so much rage. And in the midst of all this mania, are we, as God's people, conducting ourselves like David? Or are we simply acting out like Eliab? Does anger control your words and your actions? Or do you remember the Lord? And that everything we must do and say has to be surrendered and committed to glorifying Him. And by the way, that includes when you're on the phone. That includes your social media page. You can either say, I know thy pride, accusations, and the naughtiness of thy heart. Or you can be like David and say, is there not a cause? But it's not just about anger in your own heart. What about when anger is unjustly directed towards you? What do you do then? You'll notice that David did not answer his brother's foolish words with more anger. You know, Peter said not to answer railing with railing. David did not do that. He could have. I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thy heart. Oh, yeah, Eliab, well, you know what? No lunch for you. Dad told me to bring corn and bread. You ain't getting any of it. You're going to starve. I hate you. You know, run off. Did David do that? No, he could have. I don't see you doing anything, Eliab. You're just standing there like a stump. I'm going to go fight a giant. Did he do that? No. He did not answer anger with more anger. He directed his purpose and his actions toward the Lord. Why? Because he remembered. He remembered his God, and he remembered what truly mattered. Someone once said that the greatest test of a person's spirit is how they handle injustice, how they handle being misrepresented or being lied about. Let me ask you a question. How did our Lord handle it? He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was rejected. He was certainly insulted, misrepresented, lied about. And he was even brought before a mock trial with fake witnesses, which was a complete and utter sham. And yet, he never answered a word. Why? Because Jesus Christ remembered that his kingdom is not of this world and that God the Father knows and judges all things. And when we get angry, there's one simple reason. It's because we feel like we're not in control. That's why we get angry, because we don't think we're in control. Well, I got news for you. We're not in control. But you know what? Neither is Governor DeSantis. Neither is Mayor Cuomo, or the World Health Organization, or Secretary Jinping, or President Trump. Dad highlighted last week, the eternal truth that the Lord is high and lifted up. And what is he doing, high and lifted up? He is sitting on a throne. He is the one that is in control of all things, and he is the one that we are to remember in times of anger. I'll say this and I'll be done. No matter what is going on in your life or in mine, or what age we live in, we must purpose to be like King David. That in times we are afraid, in times that we feel alone, and in times we are dealing with anger, we must always remember our Lord and our Savior. Because he has always been faithful. He has never left or forsaken us. And he is in control of all things. The only difference between a humble shepherd boy and all those warriors that were standing out on that field that day was that David kept the Lord in his heart. And if we purpose to do so as well, we will shine as lights in this dark world, as Dad mentioned a moment ago, that so desperately needs it. They need to see God's glory and goodness in these dark and trying times. If we remember him, it will give us the strength to stand and to rejoice in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for these eternal truths, that these are not just stories that we have heard many, many times, but an eternal truth that from all the way from Genesis till the final day in Revelation, we as your people must always remember. Remember you. No matter how we may feel or what crisis we find ourselves in, to remember that you are good and that you are faithful and that you are worthy of our trust. Let us keep these things and ponder these things in our hearts and to apply them in our lives and show them forth to everyone around us. We thank you for this time and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.